And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall here in Studio A with our intrepid theater critic, Jay Wynn Russick. And Judy, we're going to talk about another addition to the August Wilson celebration that's going on across many theaters here in Baltimore. The latest installment is August Wilson's Seven Guitars. This is a play that Wilson famously wrote. It's one of the ones he famously wrote for every decade in the 20th century. So Seven Guitars, where does it stand? What decade is Seven Guitars, and what does the play have to say about that decade?
The decade is the 1940s. Specifically, it's 1948. World War II has ended. The forces of democracy have won, but racial equality still has a long way to go in this country. The play comes halfway into Wilson's series of plays about African-American life, and it still has a foot in the plays that take place in the decades before it, the plays that we've already seen in the Baltimore Wilson celebration. But Seven Guitars also looks ahead, rather bleakly, to the plays that are yet to come. Another great American playwright, Tony Kushner, has called Seven Guitars, quote, a vast, troubled, complicated drama. And he's right. The Spotlighters is probably the smallest of the nine Baltimore theaters participating in this festival, but it has chosen arguably the most complex play. There are seven characters. Poetically, they're the seven guitars in the title. It's an ensemble play like most of Wilson's plays, but there is kind of a protagonist. It's Floyd Schoolboy Barton. He's fresh out of the workhouse. He's back home in Pittsburgh. He's got a recording contract in Chicago, and he's desperate to get his guitar out of hock. His drummer and his harmonica player are also characters in the play. Floyd is very eager for them to join him so that he can follow up on his first hit record, which was released while he was locked up. The play is told in flashback. The last scene is a continuation of the first scene. It's the only flashback structure in Wilson's work. And it's not as clear as it might be in director Benjamin Isaiah Black's production at the Spotlighters. Although I have to say, the director has drawn notably insightful performances from his cast.
Say something about the role of music in Wilson's plays. Not just this one, but I'd like to hear about this one in particular. But you know, he's got another one called The Piano Lesson. I mean, Music is important to these things, aren't they?
Music is very important. I wouldn't be surprised if there have been doctoral dissertations written about this. And I'll give you some examples. Starting and ending with Seven Guitars with a scene in the same time and place is like bookending a song. So there are structural connections. The last Wilson play I reviewed was The Piano Lesson, as you mentioned, and before that, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom and Joe Turner's Come and Gone. Both of those are titles of songs. And Wilson's plays are strongly influenced by the blues. Some, like Seven Guitars, are also somewhat structured like the blues. Wilson's monologues are like blues solos in which the characters pour out their souls. I brought a relatively rare upbeat example. This is Jay Jones as Floyd. After he shows up with a slick brand new guitar, and he shows it off to Vera, the woman he wants to marry. Let's listen.
We ain't gonna talk about how good it looks until you hear how it sounds. And to do that, you gotta come down to the Blue Goose, Pittsburgh's number one blues club, where Floyd, Schoolboy Barton, is performing one night only. Sunday night, Mother's Day, performing his greatest hit, That's All Right, along with other songs and future hits, courtesy of Savoy Records.
That's Jay Jones in the Spotlighters production of Seven Guitars. So, Judy, you called the performances notable and insightful. I assume that this actor, Jay Jones, is one of those. Tell us about some of the others in the show.
Yes, I should reiterate, Jay Jones does give a strong performance. Floyd is trying to woo Vera. She's been wronged by Floyd before. An actress named Regina Gina G plays her as a woman trying not to be wronged again, but her heart ultimately wins out over past experience. I also want to single out Stephen Forrester. He plays Cainwell, Floyd's harmonica player. Forrester is a freshman at Coppin State, and his Spotlighters debut is impressive. His portrayal of Cainwell can be boyish, it can be funny, it can be easygoing, but he's learning a lot of life lessons very fast. A lot of August Wilson's plays have kind of a mystical character, and in Seven Guitars, it's Headley. Headley is a senior citizen. He's wise and, at times, unstable. Louis B. Murray captures both of those attributes. Headley spouts references to the Bible and to historic black figures, but he's haunted by a legendary blues musician named Buddy Bolden. Is that a name you're familiar with? Yeah. Murray's credits include more than half of the plays in Wilson's cycle, and he has Headley's otherworldly nature down pat. I have a clip of Murray's Headley. He's by himself. This is the start of what becomes an increasingly self-disturbed self-affirmation. Let's listen.
Ain't no grave can hold my body down. You think the black man a dog in the dust you can kick when you want? I'm not a dog. You think you could throw a bone and I'll run after it? Think I wag my tail for you or fetch for you? A black man is not a dog. He is the Lion of Judah. He is the mud God make his image from. Ethiopia, so stretch forth her wings. The black man is not a dog.
That's Louis B. Murray in Seven Guitars at the Spotlighters Theater. So, Judy, I don't think we've talked about this before, but are there characters that recur in some of the plays in this century cycle by August Wilson?
Yes, actually. There are several characters, or at least mentions of them, that show up in various plays. And we're far enough into this cycle to have met some of those characters, or at least their antecedents. Headley is a prime example. The next-to-last play is called King Headley II. It's named for the presumed son of the Headley that we meet in Seven Guitars and just listen to. King Headley II also includes the title character's mother, who first appears in Seven Guitars. That's one of the advantages of Baltimore's August Wilson celebration. It lets you see, it lets you make these connections.
So if somebody hasn't seen an August Wilson play before, you know, I mean, a bunch of them have been done already, a bunch more will be done in the future. Is Seven Guitars a good place to start?
I think it's a difficult place to start. I'm going to agree with Tony Kushner here. I think Fences, Wilson's best-known and most linear play, would be easier. That's the 1950s installment. These are being done in order. It's being produced next month by Chesapeake Shakespeare, which initiated this Baltimore celebration. That said, the Spotlighters production of Seven Guitars sold out before it opened. The theater added two extra performances and invited critics to a dress rehearsal. Now that there have been more performances, some of the confusing plot points might be clearer. But I have to hand it to Spotlighters for taking on Seven Guitars. And the performances are definitely a good introduction to the type of characters that Wilson excelled at creating.
And clearly a testament to the great imagination of this idea. The folks at Chesapeake Shakespeare Theater actually, you know, came up with the idea of having a bunch of different theaters do each of these plays. If Spotlighters is selling out before they even start, God bless them. I mean, that's good. Leslie Malin over at Chesapeake Shakespeare Theater, this is her idea, and it's clearly a good one. People really enjoy it. So
right,
great.
And we're right at the middle of it, but you can start in the middle.
Yeah.
And it'll continue through next year.
Yeah, so next year. So we won't get through the last five in this season, the 25-26 season. We'll have to go to the 26-27 season.
Right. It's been great fun following this through, and I'm very familiar with August Wilson and his work, but even I learn things by seeing them in this order. There will be two more plays this season, and the last one's next season.
Terrific. All right, Seven Guitars. It's at the Spotlighters Theater until the 1st of February. But as Judy said, looks like there aren't any tickets, but you should check out the website, and you never know. People will, you know, hand in tickets at the last minute. And next week, Judy, we're going to talk about a show at the Rapid Lemon Productions called From East Like the Sun. So I look forward to that. We'll see you then.
See you then, Tom.
Jaewyn Russick, her new novel is called Please Write a Novel in Letters. And tomorrow, here on Midday, guest host Gabe Ortiz will talk about the impact of health insurance costs with WIPR's Scott Massioni, and he'll explore the legacy of Edgar Allan Poe. Midday's director and engineer, Shania Mapson. Sam Burmistaws has been helping out this week as our engineer, in addition to producing the show with Rob Sivak. Midday's theme music was composed and recorded by Austin Coughlin at Clean Cuts. Fresh Air is up next. The guest today, the author Julian Barnes. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for joining me. Be sure to join Gabe Ortiz tomorrow. I'll be back with you Tuesday. Have a great day.
This is 88.1 WYPR, member supported local radio.